For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Ashley Chilcutt. Joining me today over the phone is Idaho Governor Brad Little. We are going to talk about Idaho's anniversary of statehood, which is on July 3rd. Thank you so much for joining me today, Governor Little.
My pleasure.
I'm not actually from Idaho, so I've been learning about Idaho history as I found out that Idaho will be turning 132 years old this year on July 3rd. And I wanted to know from you, what do you think Idaho's legacy has been throughout the centuries, because it officially became a state in 1890?
Well, we don't look a year over 130.
That's true. The mountains are still standing, so.
Idaho's unique, even compared to our neighbors, particularly in Utah, where, you know, Idaho was such a desolate place that, you know, there were some fur trappers here, but most all the traffic across Idaho was to get to the Willamette Valley, to get to California, and then, of course, Oregon and Washington, where there was basically steamship travel, and you didn't need to irrigate. And then when the mining industry took off in Idaho, that was where a lot of the development came. And then pioneer settlers came up from Utah, even though for a while they thought they were in Utah. And that was really the advent of agriculture. But we couldn't grow agriculture until we had railroad and better roads, because there were so few people in Idaho. Now, you could move minerals. You could move gold and silver, but any of the other minerals and timber products until we had transportation here. And so a lot of our growth came from the West Coast, and that's the way it is today. You know, the bulk of the population of Idaho is coming from Oregon, Washington, California, some from Utah and Colorado, but that's really been our history.
Yeah, and I know Idaho continues to have a very rich Native American and even agricultural history and pioneer history, and you had a part in presenting this year's Esto Perpetua Awards at the Idaho State Museum in early June. How important is preserving Idaho history to you?
Well, when you get older, it gets more important. I obviously studied Idaho history like all the other students and was always kind of a student of it. For most of my lifetime, Idaho grew organically. You know, our kids would stay here, but it's just been in the last 8 or 10 years that we've had this incredible growth from outside of the state. Governor Cox in Utah and I go back and forth about which is the fastest growing state, and both Utah and Idaho are just rapidly growing, you know, on a scale that a lot of our people in Idaho think is unsustainable. And so as that growth happens, it's important to those of us who've been here and the people that are new that you understand kind of our past and what our culture is.
Right. And I definitely have felt that as I've been looking back into Idaho history. I found it interesting that July 3rd was the day that was chosen for Idaho to have declared statehood, which is just a day away from the anniversary of the foundation of our country.
Well, you know why we picked July 3rd instead of July 4th? Because if we would have picked July 4th, the addition of the 43rd star to the flag wouldn't have been until a year later. It's on the 4th of July. If you've got 42 states on the 4th of July, then you have 42 stars. And so they moved up the date that we were recognized as a state one day so that we could get our 43rd star on the flag. That's where that date came from.
Wow. Yeah, I knew there had to have been some historical significance. I've been trying to talk to people from Idaho museums that know a lot about the Idaho history, but that's definitely a new fact for me.
We came into the Union on our first try. Utah had to make a couple tries before they got in. My wife and I took our state constitution down to the University of Utah to be preserved. And at that time, Utah governor was Gary Herbert. And we talked about, you know, basically the document that's our Idaho state constitution. Granted, it's been amended many times, but we talked about that, and because to come into the Union, there were certain conditions that every state had to meet. Now, the first 13 original colonies basically got to write their own, basically their own constitutions, and they had to change it. The Midwest was a little different. By the time they got to the West, Congress had specific things that they required a state to do to be admitted into the Union.
Yeah, and I actually talked to Jeff Carr, who works at the Museum of Idaho in Idaho Falls, and he mentioned that there was a period in history where they were actually talking about dividing the Idaho Territory amongst, I guess, what's modern-day Montana and Wyoming. And so Idaho almost didn't actually become a state at all.
Well, we actually, when we discovered gold, and Pierce and Idaho City and Silver City, Lucille, when all those communities were exploding, the state of Washington was concerned that the capital of Washington might be Lewiston, Idaho, because it was, you know, we were part of the Washington Territory, and that's when they kind of whacked and gave us our funny panhandle shape as a result of that, because of the big population at Lewiston that was affiliated with the mining activity in Pierce. And so there were several other factors that if you look at the progression of the maps, but, you know, Idaho was part of the Northwest Territory, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho that came in, and part of Montana. There was a little disagreement about where the continental divide was. But right now we got the shape we got, and we're very proud of it.
I know that you're a native to Idaho, so you've been here for quite some time. So you've been able to have the opportunity to see it change. But I'm interested to know what your favorite 4th of July memory is.
The last couple of years, I've been down at Idaho Falls for the parade and the fireworks. And then I think 2 or 3 years ago, I was in Rexburg. I matter of fact, the Rexburg 4th of July parade is one of the it's not near as big as some of the other ones, but it's a great celebration. And even going out to Manan, I've done all of those. But historically, our family has celebrated the 4th of July at Cascade McCall, because that's where we summer our livestock. I used to be out at the ranch, and we'd come to town and ride in the parade, and then we'd have horse races, kind of ranches competing on our saddle horses from the ranches. Now where the racetrack is all gone, but we're going to have more of a traditional, I'm going to be in the Cascade 4th of July parade, and then our family will be up at McCall, because my family and my wife's family, basically our livestock operations in the summer are based around there, and so we've been there forever, and it'll be fun to have a more traditional 4th of July celebration this year.
Definitely. I remember attending the 4th of July celebration here in Rexburg last year, and it was so colorful and patriotic. We've talked a little bit about old Idaho history, but we're living history. What do you hope your legacy will be as a piece in Idaho's modern history?
When I first became lieutenant governor, it was after the last recession, and things were not, we had 10% unemployment. I mean, that was bad, but more saddening to me was the fact that we were exporting our children, that kids would graduate from high school or college and go somewhere else. And so ever since I applied for this job and got this job, it's been, I want to create the best possible opportunity for our children and grandchildren to either stay in Idaho or for the ones that left to return. And right now, I joke about it occasionally, we're being so successful that not only are kids staying here and the ones that left returning, everybody else's kids want to come here also. So, you know, we have to preserve our culture and our way of life and everything that we have. But that's why good careers and a good education system is so important to me, because people choose to live where there's going to be schools that they think are worthy of their children. And that's why education, you know, good jobs and education has always been a high priority for me.
I'm assuming that's kind of the draw then for people who are moving into Idaho. I've even noticed the growth. Even BYU-Idaho is expanding in ways that are starting to be difficult, especially for housing. But I think it's wonderful to see people take advantage of education opportunities here in the state.
Well, we keep expanding educational opportunity, but the population keeps expanding also. Of course, BYU-Idaho is a little different because they get students from a long ways away in many instances. And where Idaho State, College of Eastern Idaho, the new college, Boise State, University of Idaho, and LCSC, we have more of a local population that comes into those institutions.
That's all the questions that I have prepared. Is there anything that you'd want to share with our listeners on BYU-Idaho Radio about Idaho or about patriotism or the 4th of July?
That is not a problem that I've seen in Rexburg because of the parade and the emphasis there on the rich history of our country. But people need to remember that we have a republic and we should celebrate our history, continue to work on creating a more perfect union, but people need to participate in our system. That a democratic republic requires participation, and just shooting off a few fireworks and having a barbecue, which is important, but you got to remember the sacrifices of the people that created this country. You know, the 4th of July, that Declaration of Independence, people need to remember that the odds were stacked against them. They didn't know whether this system was going to work. And they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to create this country. And it's the most duplicated system in the world, our democratic republic. And we should be thankful for what our ancestors do. And we should all work every day to make it better in the future.
What would the lowest level of participation look like? Does that mean getting involved with the city council?
You nailed it. There are lots of opportunities. Some of them are elected. Some of them are just participation. You know, go to a school board meeting. Go to a planning and zoning meeting. What do you want Rexburg to look like in the future? And do you think Rexburg's growing too fast? Do you think there's some other things we can do? There are all kinds of opportunities in local government, in civic organizations, and then volunteer to help in schools, volunteer to help with social services. We've got lots of challenges, and government is important, but it only works if other people participate.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Governor Little. I've greatly enjoyed learning about the history of Idaho with you.
So thank you, Ashley, and happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Ashley Chilcutt. This was an interview with Governor Brad Little about Idaho's anniversary.